Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Superbook Sports is now open in the great state of New Jersey. Superbook Sports, better odds, favorable prices, and an expansive betting menu. Visit superbook.com to sign up now. Have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Let them have it. Call the fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
If you're just tuning in, big news, breaking news. Daniel Vogelbach is not playing tonight
for
the New York Mets. Congratulations.
Thank God.
So if you're on your way to Citi Field, do not worry. He's not playing.
Can they DFA the guy already, please?
It may happen soon.
It should have happened already.
They actually do have a decision to make because, and you hear Joe B's voice, Craig off today, he'll come back Monday. But they do have a decision to make because in a few days they have to activate Omar Narvaez. So they could either have him just replace Tomas Nito and trade Tomas Nito, or right. DFA Tomas Nito.
Or trade Narvaez.
Or trade, well, I guess they could trade Narvaez. I don't think they will. Actually, I don't even think they can because they signed him as a free agent. I think there's a period of time.
Is there?
I forget the deadline on it, but I don't think they actually can. The other option is to carry three catchers, which I'm intrigued by because it opens up more opportunities to DH Alvarez on days
absolutely.
Where he's not catching.
Right.
And so if you want to carry three catchers, the odd man out then could be Daniel Vogelbach.
And should be.
So we'll see. I do have a question because I was curious about this from the last couple of days. DeAndre Hopkins was released by the Arizona Cardinals.
Jets say they have no interest in him. Didn't I hear that?
Yeah, and this is what I find so intriguing. So the Giants said the exact same thing about Hopkins they said about Odell. They have like a stock answer, which is, we'll look into it. They're not telling you yes and not telling you no. Like, yeah, we always look into it. We'll see. So the Giants basically didn't tell you anything. They're very good at that, which is fine. The Jets said they're not interested, like you said.
Yep.
And Robert Saleh talked about the wide receiver room. Well, we got Corey Davis. We got Garrett Wilson. We got Alan Lazard. We got, you know, Mecole Hardman. We got Randall Cobb.
Yep.
All this stuff. Yet they couldn't wait to go after Odell Beckham Jr. And I'm having a tough time understanding.
Did they really go after him, though?
Yeah. Yeah, they made him an offer. They made him a big offer.
I didn't even
offer.
Realize they did that.
They went after
him. I'm glad they didn't get him, buddy.
To the point where when Odell signed his deal with the Ravens, he called the Jets and said, hey, if you could match this,
right.
I'll sign with you. So the Jets went after Beckham. This was after they signed Lazard, by the way, so you can't even say, well,
right,
they signed.
Right,
no,
right.
No, Lazard's there. It's the same group of receivers
after
they have
signed
now.
Hardman, too. They already had Hardman in the fold as
they
well.
They had the same wide receiver room.
Right.
And they were really going after Odell. And my attitude towards it was, whatever. I don't think he's that good.
I don't love him, but go ahead.
I don't hate him.
I just think he's, the problem with Odell is he's going to get hurt again.
Right.
He gets hurt all the time.
No, I agree with you. I think there's concerns about that, and I don't think he's the same guy.
Right.
But if they signed him, I wasn't going to freak out. I'd be like, okay, fine. And yet, they were so interested in him, and with DeAndre Hopkins, who I think is better. I do. There's concerns about him, too.
Well, right now, he's certainly better now.
And he's missed time the last couple of years. He had the suspension. Right. He had the injury the year before that. But he's not that far removed from being one of the elite wide receivers in the NFL. I don't think he's the same guy, but I think he's got a lot more left than Odell.
I would have no problem bringing him in. If you're asking me that, I got no issue with that.
So why do you think the Jets was so no on him, but yes on Odell?
I don't know. Maybe they know something we don't know. I don't know.
Or they're listening to Aaron Rodgers? I know Big Mac told me that. That was his thought.
Oh, that could be. Maybe Rodgers doesn't want him. I mean, that's, if Rodgers doesn't want him, he's not coming here. Let's be honest.
The thought I had.
You're probably right. Chris is probably right about that.
I also the thought that they know Hopkins doesn't want to come here.
Well, that
and
could
so
be.
Instead of, it's like asking her out when you know she's going to say no.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to ask her out now.
Right.
I waste my time.
Right.
But it's odd the way they were so hot for Beckham. and so lukewarm about Hopkins, unless they're just playing a different game on it where Salah's just not going to tell
but
us.
But I think Chris is right. I think it's probably they asked, you know, Rodgers about him, and maybe Rodgers doesn't want him.
And why would that be?
I don't know. Maybe there's something about him he doesn't like. I don't know. Who knows? What do I know?
I don't know either. I just find it interesting. And look, could the Giants use him? Sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like the kid they drafted from Tennessee, the third-round pick, Hyatt.
Oh, Jalen Hyatt.
I think they got something with him. He was a home run hitter at Tennessee.
He's got a chance to be good. Yep. Remember Wondell Robinson? He got hurt last year. He's got a chance to be good. They added Paris Campbell.
Right.
Isaiah Hodgins may get even better with more experience.
They got Waller now, too, at tight end.
Yeah,
if he stays healthy. He's another guy that's got to stay healthy.
That's the big one.
Right.
You know, do the Giants have a number one wide receiver right now? Probably not.
Right.
You know, maybe someone develops into that, but probably not. But if Darren Waller is healthy, and that's a huge if, we have to acknowledge that because he hasn't been. But if he's healthy, they have a top five tight end in the NFL, probably top three tight end in the NFL.
He's up there.
You talk about Kittle and Kelce.
Right.
When he's healthy, you put up some of the numbers Waller could put up with Derek Carr years ago. He was tremendous.
Yeah, no, he's good.
So that was a huge addition that improves their offense. But could they use DeAndre Hopkins? Yeah, I don't know if they can make it work cap-wise. You probably have to be creative. And I'm not sure how interested he'll be.
The Giants could actually have not as good a record this year and be a better team.
I think that's the likeliest scenario.
Yep.
I agree with you.
Yep.
The team that really needs DeAndre Hopkins, because I was refreshing my memory after this offseason. Because you forget, like, did this guy leave? Is this guy there? I was looking at the Buffalo Bills.
I was just going to say, Buffalo, yeah.
After
he doesn't want to go there. Didn't he say he didn't want to go to Hopkins?
Did he say that?
I thought I heard that.
Going there.
Did you hear that, Chris? I thought I did.
I knew he wasn't. Maybe. I may have missed it. But looking at who they have at receiver after Stephon Diggs, they got Gabe Davis, and they got, like, nothing else.
Nothing else.
So if you,
good.
So if you're Hopkins.
You know what they can do.
You get opportunities.
And they lost their two coordinators, too.
They lost Leslie Frazier's gone.
And they didn't lose the offensive coordinator. He's coaching some. He's a head coach now, isn't he?
No, I thought he was still there.
Is he? Is the offensive coordinator
Ken
still
Dorsey.
There?
Isn't Ken Dorsey still there?
I guess.
I thought he was. They definitely lost Leslie Frazier, who retired.
Frazier's gone.
Or not
for
retired,
sure.
But he basically resigned.
Right. I thought they lost the offensive, too, but I guess not.
And McDermott's going to run the defense, basically.
Okay.
And they lost Devin Singletary. Not that that's that.
They got no running
loss.
Game anyway. I mean, their biggest runner was at Josh Allen.
Yeah, they added Damian Harris from the Patriots.
Okay.
I was refreshing my brain because I'm thinking to myself, I forgot what these teams have done.
Yeah, well,
I remember what the Jets and Giants have done, but you start to forget.
Well, yeah, you're not really paying attention to everybody else.
Right. And then you start to look at the roster and you say, oh, wait, okay.
It's time to win the division, bro. I'm telling you.
Well, I mean,
it's there for us to take now.
It's only been a couple of decades.
Yeah, well, 2002.
Let's go to AJ in Dutchess County. What's going on, AJ?
AJ, how are you?
Hey, guys. How we doing? Joe, great to hear you, my
Thank
friend.
You.
Great to hear you.
Thank you, AJ.
So, listen, I got a prediction to make, and I think it'll solve the Mets DH problem.
Yeah?
I'm convinced. By the way, I'm an ex-Dodger fan, okay?
What are you, ex-Dodger fan?
I'm a Catholic first, and then a Dodger fan.
Oh, so I
I'm
understand. No, fan. I get it. I get it. I understand completely.
All right?
Go ahead. Okay. I get it.
So, I'm convinced Ohtani is going to be coming to the Dodgers, which means the Dodgers will not need J.D. Martinez.
So, what are you trying to trade J.D. Martinez to the Mets? Is that the deal?
Well, first of all, there's so many flaws with this Ohtani-J.D. thing. Let me start off with this. If the Angels trade Ohtani, we said they're not trading him to the Mets. They ain't trading him to the L.A. Dodgers.
No.
Let's start there.
No.
And number two, J.D. Martinez, and I hand this to Pete Hoffman. I got to hand it to my guy Hoff. Pete Hoffman, the entire offseason, when we were breaking down, hey, what should the Mets do in the offseason? Hoffman was the Mets have to add J.D. Martinez. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of lukewarm about it. Well, he's 36 years old. If you look at his numbers the last few years, what does he have left? J.D., I don't know if you've seen his numbers in L.A.
No, I know he's hitting. I know he's
monster
is.
Year.
Yeah.
He's having a monster year. Which leads you to why the hell would the Dodgers trade J.D. Martinez?
Right.
Honestly, when the Mets get closer to the trade deadline, and hello SNY presented by Grubhub, they're going after pitching. Like, I think offensively their lineup, especially with the younger guys that have come up, and I assume Vientos is only going to get more at-bats, and I assume at some point Mauricio is going to be up here, I don't think the lineup's going to be their biggest issue. And I think that when we get, and we're talking 2 months from now, or maybe a month and a half when the season of trading really heats up, the rumors at least, I think it's going to be all about bullpen help and maybe a depth starter depending on the health of the rotation. I don't think we're going to be sitting here talking about DHs because I honestly think this Met lineup is going to be good enough. I do, especially if these young guys perform. I don't disagree.
I don't disagree, bro. It's all about pitching for them.
I think that is the biggest question around the Mets.
Yep.
And right now there's nothing they can do other than roll the guys out there that they have. And then come July, see who's available. Now, part of the problem is Right now, there are two baseball teams. I'm not even kidding you. Two freaking baseball teams that I could tell you definitively are going to be out of it and selling pieces off.
The Oakland A's.
The Oakland A's and the Kansas City Royals.
Okay.
Everybody else could look at the standings and say, well, you know, right there. The Washington Nationals could say that.
Yeah, no, they could. They could.
Everybody in the NL Central can say that. So you're talking about only two teams who, by the way, both stink. I mean, the A's have nobody.
The A's might break the Mets 1962 Mets record.
Yeah, because they're really, really, really,
unbelievable.
Really bad.
Right.
And then the one guy on the Royals who you could kind of look at and you have to turn sideways and say, maybe. And then you give it more thought and you realize, no way. I'll tell you the guy's name. Because I looked at it sideways. I turned my head a little bit.
Yeah.
I tried to convince myself. And then I realized I'm out. I can't do it. Aroldis Chapman.
No, I don't want him.
So you were much quicker to say no,
I want no part of Aroldis Chapman.
Okay, just making,
thank you.
Just
no, making. Thank you.
Imagine the Mets going to war with all these former Yankees. Ottavino, Robertson, Chapman. Yeah, it's enough.
I don't want Chapman.
I wouldn't either. He's pitched well, and he's throwing 102 miles an hour.
Yeah, I don't want him.
But I think that's going to be a problem to keep an eye on that. I don't know how many teams are going to be bad enough to be selling guys off, and the teams that are so bad don't have that many pieces to sell off. The one team that I look at and say, okay, I need them to be bad because they got a lot of intriguing pieces, is the Chicago White Sox. Because they had high expectations coming into the season. If they can remain bad and remain down in the American League Central, then I think there's a bunch of arms that they could potentially go after. Including Liam Hendricks, who's returned from cancer. And he deserves a standing ovation. He battled cancer, he beat it, and he's back and he's pitching.
Anybody that does that deserves a standing ovation.
Awesome.
No doubt.
Let's go to Brian in Glenhead, New York. What's up, Brian?
Brian, how are you?
What's up, guys? How you doing? Good afternoon.
What's up?
What's up?
So, Joe, I got to talk to you about this Nick Jersey thing. So, yes.
Is this Scona? It sounds like Riscona. Is this Riscona?
It may be.
Maybe. What do you mean, maybe? By the way, did you get my message for June 14th?
I did. You're in.
Okay, good.
Looks like it's me, you, Giannotti, and my buddy.
Okay.
So we're all good. But going back to the jersey thing. So the Knicks wear white, right? And that's great. And it's awesome. But it didn't bother you at all that they were wearing the dark navy blue with the Jordan Jumpman silhouette every away game throughout the playoffs?
Yes.
It bothered the hell out of me.
That's got to piss you off, Joe.
Yeah, no. I understand.
I don't want to. Listen, I respect Jordan. He's not like Reggie Miller. He's not P.J. Brown. He's not Alonzo Mourning. I respect him more than I do those other guys. But I don't want to see a Jordan Jumpman on my Knicks jersey.
That's a fair point. It's a good
point. So that bothered me all. And then on top of it, going back to the Brady thing, how do you feel bad for Brady? Are you kidding me?
I told you why I feel bad for him.
Stop it.
It's on a,
If Terry was wearing a bikini and she was dating some jiu-jitsu instructor, you'd have 20 more right around the block with that so-called charm in your style.
No, bro, hold on a minute here. When you're my age, I don't know about the charm and style anymore, you know?
Look at Al Pacino. He's having babies with 29-year-olds.
He's right about Al Pacino. What do you got? My wife with 29-year-olds now? Oh, that was, I'd feel
no,
real
I'm
good about
you.
That.
I'm seeing you with 29-year-olds.
Oh, yeah, that's happening. Give me a break. You know I love you, Scone, but let's get real, all right?
All I wanted to do was call about the Knick jerseys, but so much happened in between my phone
See
call
that?
When you guys asked
Anything else you want to kill me about? Whatever you want for you, because you know I love you. You know that.
I'll kill you on a golf course in a couple of weeks.
So. All right.
By the way, I knew. Because there's a lot of Knick fans, a lot of them, who have just decided to bow down at the altar of Michael Jordan. They just decided,
I can't do that. I mean, I do look at Jordan differently for a lot of reasons that are not basketball related.
But that's okay. That's different.
You know what I mean?
He still haunts you.
Oh, God.
You still don't want to honor him.
No.
I mean, you don't want to do it to Miami Heat.
Can you believe they got his number? And isn't it when he got Marino's number up there, too?
So it's not really retired. I just want to point that out.
What do you mean it's not really retired?
The numbers are not retired. They're in the Bam Adebayo was number 13. Like, they put him up in the rafters to honor them,
right?
But they're not retired. So it's like a weird...
You can't put Jordan up there.
Of course not. Like, Dan Marino, fine, it's your city. Like, of course, okay, fine. You can't put a guy that was your rival... Now, at that time, you know, the Heat and the Bulls weren't the Knicks and the Bulls, but still.
Right.
But I agree. Every time I see the Jumpman, I think to myself, and I don't have a hatred toward Jordan,
right,
I'm different.
Right.
I had a different fandom, obviously, growing up. But if you're a Knick fan, how the hell are you okay with that? That would drive me nuts.
Yeah.
He haunted your dreams,
dude. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Like that Charles Smith Memorial 30th anniversary today.
Today.
A lot of it, most of it, is Michael freaking Jordan.
Of course.
He's the reason.
It's all about it.
And I agree
Never
with
beating Jordan, to me, is one of the great disasters in the history of the franchise.
But I do wonder.
And not getting that last shot because of the bench in 97 was
I get
not,
that.
But was very difficult.
If they won it all in 1994, if things were different,
would
you still feel that way? Or would you say, who cares? I won a championship. It doesn't matter.
I mean, I'd be happy. Look, I mean, you take it. It's a championship. I mean, the Rockets weren't throwing it away. But there would be a little something about, okay, like, I'll say this. I'm sure I would have felt a little differently, but they still would have had to get through Jordan, and it would have had chances to get through Jordan.
Right.
Even after that.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's all about Jordan. You're right. Well, it's all about him.
And now they got the Jumpman on their jersey. Which is crazy.
Are they going to change the logo now, too? The Jerry West logo? Are they doing that?
What are they going to change it to?
More Jordan.
To Jordan?
Yeah.
To Kobe? To somebody more modern? Look,
yeah.
I know that as time goes by, there's more eras, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that we should ever forget Jerry West. We shouldn't forget the history of the sport. But as time goes by, there are less and less people who remember them. So you want to honor the next generation.
Right.
And I'm all for honoring the next generation. But I don't know. Something feels weird about that. Changing the logo. It's the logo. It's the NBA logo. It's like MLB changed their logo.
No,
it's just weird.
I know what you mean.
And the MLB logo doesn't honor anybody. It's just somebody swinging a bat.
Right.
I've heard talk that they should change the MLB logo. And I love the guy, so I have no issue with it, to Ken Griffey Jr. To make him the logo. Would you have a problem with that? All-time great player.
Well, they don't have anybody as a logo now.
Exactly.
It's like it's almost like a silhouette of a guy that's hitting bolts. You can make a case he's hitting right-handed or left-handed.
Right. It's nobody. It's not like the NBA where the legend is Jerry West.
Right.
But would you want
Griffey
that?
Jr., I mean, I got no great problem with him. No.
Like, he defined
he's
my
a great player. He's a great player. He's an all-time great player.
You know who the best player is, though, that they should probably do it with? Barry Bonds.
Of course.
Put that little Barry Bonds.
Oh, please. Barry Bonds is the greatest. Look, let's be honest. I said this a million. Look. Willie Mays is the greatest all-around player I ever saw. The greatest offensive force in the history of baseball in my lifetime is Barry Bonds.
Dude.
It's not even debatable.
What's remarkable
is... You know how I feel about those guys going in the Hall of Fame.
No, of course.
They all should be in.
What's remarkable to me is we were talking the other day about Aaron Judge and how locked in he is, and Craig was making the point, teams can't face him anymore. Like, why would you even face this guy? And we actually saw the other night, this is probably while you were sleeping, this was late at night, but it was fascinating. Ninth inning... Tie game, 0-0, two outs and nobody on. Aaron Judge comes up. They walked him.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of cool.
That's a game that was 1-0 the other.
That was the game they ended up losing.
Right.
But they walked him with two outs and nobody on. And I thought, this is a scenario where I would not face him.
No.
I can't let him hit
a
home run.
I agree with that.
Next batter comes up, Willie Calhoun, they get him out. Bottom line is Aaron Judge has been intentionally walked 4 times this season. Which is nothing.
Yeah.
Barry Bonds got walked 130 times
in
a season.
What was his on-base percentage the 1 year? Over 500, right?
I think it was over 600 one year.
Was it over 6?
Yeah, it got so absurd. I got to look these numbers because they were remarkable.
Barry Bonds, it's not even close, bro. I mean, this guy got intentionally walked with the bases loaded, this guy.
So he got intentionally walked in 2004, which to me... Maybe the greatest baseball season offensively ever. It's not the year he had 73.
Right.
But that year in 2004, 39, he was intentionally walked 120 times.
That's unbelievable.
He hit .362, batting title, had a .609 on base percentage.
Wow.
.609.
That's unbelievable.
Hit 45 home runs.
Wow.
They barely threw him the
ball. What was his, I hate to use the on base plus slugging. What is it?
1,422.
Wow.
Which is just, I mean, these are the stupidest numbers you'll ever see. But Barry Bonds was intentionally walked 120 times. And I'll take it a step further, because that was during the amazing juiced up era. Go back to the early 90s. Early 90s. This is before he's touched steroids.
Right.
He was intentionally walked 43 times 1 year, 32 times 1 year. Aaron Judge has been intentionally walked 4 times.
That's nothing.
And it shows you that... He's just not being treated that way, and it gets you to wonder, well, why? Like, why? And look, Craig was going overboard. He said, I do it every time up. It's not every time up, but would I be more aggressive in intentionally walking him? Yeah, I would.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't come anywhere close to this Bond stuff.
No.
He got intentionally walked.
That's unbelievable.
688 times in his career.
That's crazy, man.
And
what was it? Was he on base? 609?
609.
Wow.
2467. He led the league in intentional walks 12 times.
Wow.
including the last year of his career, 2007. And after that, he got, you know, basically blackballed from baseball. Let's be honest.
No, of course.
Because the numbers were good enough for him to continue playing.
No, he definitely got blackballed.
Tom in Putnam County. Hey, Tom.
How are you?
Tommy.
Sorry, boys. How you doing? Evan and Joe. What's good?
What's up, baby?
What's up?
So I got to do my obligatory butt kissing of the host. Love you guys to death. You guys are awesome. Get me through the day.
Thank you.
I'm chiming in a little late. I'm a school teacher, so I get into my car and I listen to the show from the top. Heard you guys were talking about the Interleague and how it, you know, completely ruined that aspect of baseball. I was just curious. Back in February, I believe it was Jim Bowden of The Athletic put out on Twitter. Evan, you probably saw it.
Yeah, I saw it. Bring it up. It's going to make me sick, but bring it up. It's fine.
Really? You're not about it? I thought, well, let me fill in.
You think Joe's going to be about it? Before you reveal it to the audience,
what is he talking about, Jim Bowden now?
You're going to hear in a second. Before you reveal what this is and the audience who hasn't heard it either, do you think Joe Beningo is going to like it, in your opinion?
Well, the thing is, the league is just so radically changed up that it's like, you know, why not?
Okay. Present the idea, Joe.
So what's this idea?
And the other component of it is you get more rivalry play. And, I mean, do you...
I'll give you the idea. He wants to get rid of the leagues and put everybody in divisions based on geography. So the Mets and the Yankees would be in the same division.
Well, I think it's coming.
Yeah, but do you want that?
No. But I think it's... I definitely think it's coming.
I do think it's coming, too. I agree with you.
Yep.
I agree.
I think it would be fantastic.
So who's in the Mets division?
Yankees, Red Sox, Phillies. Right off the top.
That's it?
Red Sox, Phillies. It'd be awesome. And this would also
only four teams in each division?
Well, I'm not sure. And thanks for the call, Tom. I'm not sure if it's a 7-team division, 8-team division, 4-team division. I don't think they would do it until there were 32 teams once the A's situation and the Rays situation
settled. Well, they're going to Vegas. It looks like they're pretty much going,
they're probably going to go to Vegas, which settles them.
Right.
They got to figure out the Rays stadium situation. And then there's going to be expansion. They're going to get to 32 teams, which is fine. Once they do that, this will happen. And here's the problem. I hate it. Sounds like you hate it. We're in the minority. Because I'm convinced our last caller, Tom, represents most people who nowadays say the leagues don't matter, there's no difference, and Mets versus Yankees would be fun.
Well, there is no difference now.
You're right. There is no difference.
And it's going to happen. Look, do I like it? No, but it's going to happen.
If the Mets and the Yankees are in the same division, I feel much better about it today than I would have 5 years ago. Because I think 5 years ago, and I mean this based on competing with them because of the Wilpons. Like, the Mets were not the Yankees. They were a big market team, and I use quotes. Now they're a superpower. So the Mets could at least compete with their division rivals
in terms of spending.
That's what I mean. So I'd feel better about it today than I would have, say, five years ago.
I do think it would be a lot of fun, though. Can you imagine a series at the end of September, Yankees-Mets for the division? That would be amazing.
Yeah.
That would be so much fun.
I guess. I mean, look, it's something that I know I'm going to have to deal with at some point.
Yeah.
If I'm still around. So, it's coming. It is coming.
Every opening day, Howie Rose is the MC. He's the MC of opening day, and he does the lineups for everybody, and he says, welcome to Citi Field. And he says something every year, and it makes me sad when he says it, because I know he's never going to get to say it again soon. And I think he says it on purpose. He says, welcome to the beginning of the National League baseball season in New York City. And the crowd goes nuts.
Right.
And I know that that doesn't mean anything. it means something to me.
Right.
It means something to you. And it certainly means something to Howie. But to most people, it's like National League, American League, Tweedledee, Tweedledum.
The way it is now, there is no difference. The DH is in both leagues. You're playing everybody in baseball. I mean, it's coming, bro. There's no doubt about
it. And I hate to say it, as much as I fight against it, Big Mac's right. He's right.
That would be interesting.
If the Yankees and the Mets are playing 13 times a year, every series would be big, quote unquote. And they battle for the division at the end
of the year. Would you want the Giants and the Jets in the same division?
No.
No, I definitely don't want that.
I don't want any of this.
You don't care?
No, I agree with you. Football, I wouldn't want.
No.
What makes that different for you, though? Like, me and Joe are consistent on this.
Yeah.
You would want it. I think we're traditionalists in a way.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
For you, you're gung-ho on baseball, but in football, you don't want it. Why?
Well, there's not as much traveling. They share the same building now. It would just be too... I don't know. I just don't like the idea.
Well, you care about baseball players traveling now?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of series. They play a bunch of different games. There's only 17 a year. To have them in the division, have to play them twice. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't like the idea. Baseball, it seems a little bit different to me.
I like playing them once every 4 years. That's fine. The Giants.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. Well, it's not like they're a superpower. I know they're the Giants. They're the big brother. It's Giants Stadium,
yeah, but
all that.
But. Yeah, but I mean, I don't want to lose to them. You know?
Why?
Because what have the Giants ever done to you?
Besides the Victor Cruz game.
I'm sorry. No. You
besides,
did not just
thank
say
you for
that.
Besides the Victor Cruz game, just, I still haven't recovered. It's like 13 years ago.
You just had the balls 12. To say to Joe and even me, but more so freaking Joe, what have they ever done to you?
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, what have they ever done to you?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Yeah, come on.
It's one game.
But you've also won 4 Super Bowls.
I understand. That's how we share a city.
So? And you beat the 5.
Let me ask you a question.
Come on.
Since
the moment. And we play in your stadium. Don't we still play in your stadium?
That's your fault. Well, not necessarily the Giants' fault.
I'm not blaming the Giants for that.
Big Mac.
But since, I mean, we're second-class citizens.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Of course.
I get that. But
since Victor Cruz ran 99 yards.
Right, yeah.
I want you to tell me what the Jets have done.
Kyle Wilson missed
They've
a tackle.
Stunk.
Eric Smith missed a tackle.
That
They've
moment
stunk.
And
you want me to give
game.
You other flagpole moments in Jets history to go on for the next 10 years where
I'll
they stink? There's probably 5 or 6 on the top of my head.
It's different. Yeah. I'll tell you why this one's different,
why?
In my opinion. Because I was spoiled as a Jet fan. I can't believe I'm saying this. I started to understand football at about 93, 94. So I saw a little bit of bad right out the gate, no doubt.
Right, but most of what you saw was good.
I saw a great era of Jet football.
Right.
97, they're back to being
97
relevant.
97 through 2010.
Yes. Think about that era and how many times they're in the playoffs.
That's probably the best era of football for the Jets.
Okay.
Ever.
So that's my era growing up. 97 to 2010. Right. You can do the math yourself. All the playoff appearances. All the playoff wins. They won a lot of playoff games. From the moment Victor Cruz walked into that end zone.
It's so arbitrary.
It's not arbitrary. This franchise has been a freaking dumpster fire.
And I think this is a fair thing to say. I think the Giants look at the Jets like they're, you know what, on the ground. I mean, I really do. I think that there is a big, you don't realize how the dislike that the Giants have for the Jets. I think there's a
Giants
big
ownership and organization.
Yeah,
maybe.
No question
but
about it.
We literally just talked about this, Evan. You just said the one team you don't hate is the Giants.
I don't hate
them.
Now
you're going on this big diatribe about how they're the reason for the last 10
first
years
of
Jets failure.
First of all, there's two completely.
Look, there's teams I hate more than the Giants. Don't get me wrong.
No, don't get me wrong about that. It's two completely different things. I don't hate the Giants. I stand by that. I raise my hand up.
I never hated the Giants till Paul DiTino.
Changed everything.
When Paul DiTino, let me just tell you this, and I like Paul, don't get me wrong, he's a good guy, but when we were at the second Giant Patriots Super Bowl in Indianapolis, okay, I'll never forget this. So DiTino comes into, we're doing the show from the stadium, right, from Lucas Oil, right? So DiTino comes in, and he is like, wow, you know, he could not have been cockier, okay? I mean, to the point of beyond obnoxious. Beyond, okay? And ever since that moment, like, I was so turned off. I mean, I can't. And that and the fact that Evan finally realized that if the Patriots win, we don't have to go to this stupid parade.
Yeah, I was rooting
for
a couple
of
parades.
We had to go to the 2 parades.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to that parade.
Yeah, he is right. I was rooting for the Giants in 07, no regrets. And then in 11, I was rooting for them again. And the combination of the DiTino stuff and the parade, Joe saw it firsthand. I moved like
he
I
started
shifted.
Moving.
I started shifting in the middle
but
of them.
But they beat the Patriots. I mean,
they
I'm
did.
Aware.
I understand.
I'm aware. But they've done a lot for you.
Well, they didn't do anything for me. I didn't beat them.
But it's not, yeah, I mean, but I'm saying, if Jake DeLone was the quarterback of the Patriots for the last 10 years, maybe your division's not different. Maybe it's not Victor Cruz. Maybe it's the fact you can't compete against the Patriots for 10 years.
No, my team has been horrible. I'm not. There's no question about that. You know how I feel.
All right.
Does anybody kill the Jets more than I do?
No, of course not.
Look, okay.
But I'm just saying, ultimately, the Giants beat you in one impactful game in history.
I want to clarify why I got upset. I want to make this very clear.
Okay.
I don't hate the Giants. I don't even hate you.
I hated
that you said into a microphone, like confidently,
what
have they ever done to
it's
you?
One game.
As if Christmas didn't happen in 2011.
That was rough.
Apparently, Christmas still did not happen at the Roberts household.
Victor Cruz is still running.
You know what this is? This is Giants fans becoming concerned that the Jets are coming up. This is what this is. This is a little jealousy factor coming. Just like Yankees fans to Mets fans, this is now Giants fans to Jets
fans. I'm rooting for the Jets. I have the Jets in the AFC Championship game. I said it the other day.
Why do you say that?
Because I think they're as talented as anybody.
Okay.
I do. That I think they're, mean they're gonna I win. Think they got a top five defense. I think they're young and talented. I think it's like you guys said, it's all about Hall. If he's as talented and as game breaking a player as he was last year at the early onset, I think the offense with this coordinator and this quarterback is going to be as good as anybody.
Well,
I think the division's down. I think Buffalo is a regular season beast, but I don't trust them in the big spot yet.
No,
I think you're going to see them
beat them twice last year. They beat them once. They beat them with Zach Wilson last year.
I think
year.
The Jets are good enough to be in the AFC Championship.
I hope you're right.
It did hit me though. Why? Big Mac, and I think the majority of people would be against this radical realignment in football, but for it in baseball. I think in football, everybody's just so happy. We don't need it. And I think there are baseball fans who
football doesn't need it.
Football doesn't need it. It doesn't matter. The Bills, the Patriots, the Dolphins, that's fine. The Eagles, the Cowboys, teams you despise.
But you want those rivalries.
Fine.
You want those rivalries. You want to play those teams twice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in baseball, for a lot of people, especially with the way they've marginalized the regular season, and they have. We talked about it earlier, that... Hey, just make the playoffs. That the way to spice up the regular season is to have division rivals that are also sharing your city. So I think that's why I'm guessing here. I would kind of think that the majority of baseball fans would be for it, but football fans would say, "No way, I'm not interested." But who knows? But we're going to get it. We're going to get that baseball
radical. It's coming in baseball.
But as soon as they figure out the...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Raise situation and expansion. It's going to happen.
Yep.
No doubt.
Yep.
We'll get back to your calls coming up, 877-337-6666. And when we come back, I'm going to play it. Some old calls old Met opinions from Joe in Saddle River, Joe B., to the great Howie Roses. We honor Howie, who's going into the Mets Hall of Fame tomorrow.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Now, I want you to blame one person for this, all right?
Who are you blaming for this?
Joey in Yonkers.
Joey knows everything. You know, Joey comes to, I got to tell you, Joey comes to all my live podcasts.
Oh, I know. He gives me
at the Hackensack Brewing Company. He was there for the Sid extravaganza 2 weeks ago.
Yes, he told me. Carden Roberts, Craig Off, Joe B. filling in. But Joey in Yonkers, and I think the audience would enjoy it, about a week ago sent me clips of you calling
Did you
in
ask
to Howie
for these
Rose.
Or
no, not at all.
Joey just arbitrarily sent them to you.
But he knows I appreciate it. I'd appreciate
it.
Well,
Joey's
not
only, got every... I mean, Joey's unbelievable.
He's incredible.
Talk about a savant.
And
Joey's a savant.
I appreciate it for two reasons. A, you, right? You know, it's Joe B calling up in years ago in a past lifetime as a caller.
Decades ago.
With Met opinions. But I also just love it as a Met fan. Like, it's fascinating to hear the discussion from 30 years ago. Like, to think, hey, if... we were on the air 30 years earlier, this is what we'd be talking about. And it was also cool because Howie was the guy you were talking to.
Right.
And of course, Howie
Rose. I used to call Howie all the time.
Yeah.
I think he was on Monday nights, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, he also used to take phone calls on Mets Extra.
Oh, right, 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 right.
A lot of these calls were on Mets Extra. So the Mets played a game, you know, probably lost because the year was 91, 92, that kind of range.
That wasn't a good year. That wasn't good. That was post Darryl.
Yes, it was.
Very painful.
And you and Howie would talk about the Mets. So I thought if you're a Joe B fan, you'd appreciate it. And if you're just a Met fan, you'd appreciate it. So would you like to hear you and Howie talking about the managerial search? Because the Mets had fired Buddy Harrelson,
right.
as you may recall. And Mike Kubich took over for like a week, basically.
And then Torborg was the next guy, right?
That's right. So here's Joe calling up Howie.
Can't wait to hear.
Talking about the Met managers.
Wow. Getting to the managerial situation. I don't know if you remember, we spoke a couple months ago. And I said, at that point, Buddy should have been fired. And Kubich made the interim exactly for the reason to give the guy a good 2 months, you know, under maybe, you know, a little pressure. This. And see what the heck he can do.
Well, that's the least that they could have accomplished. I agree with that. I mean, I thought, and I said so at the time, he should have been gone during that disastrous road trip.
Absolutely.
After the disastrous West Coast trip.
Absolutely. But now only giving him a week, Howie, I feel they have to go out of the organization and bring in some kind of a strong personality here. I would really love to see Dallas Green. I mean, personally, I'd love to see him. You know, I hear Jeff Torborg. I guess that's an impossibility. You're ever going to get Jeff Torborg.
He was actually good at the time,
right? If there's
any
way to get him, he shoots right to the top of the list.
No, absolutely.
Listen to Howie, right at the top of the list.
Yeah, he's terrific. Shoots top of the list. He was good at the time.
He was, with the White Sox.
With the White Sox, yeah.
And Dallas Green did eventually come here, too.
Yeah, they hired Jeff Torborg. Right. He was a disaster. One of the worst managers in the history of the franchise.
And what was even worse for Torborg, he had to come on with Mike and Chris like every week. And it was a disaster. I mean, you could find some of those because they stunk. And I mean, you know, well, we're scuffling. Oh my God, Torborg.
I once heard Jeff Torborg, and I give him a lot of credit for this. He started to do Sunday Night Baseball after the managerial career ended, and they were doing a Met game. And he said, "Hey, I was in the Met Hall of Fame. I got an issue. I was walking around. I saw the busts. Why wasn't there a bust of me?" And the other announcer's like, "Are you serious?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'm the biggest bust in Met history."
Pretty close. He's up there. Maybe Jason Bay.
Yeah.
Maybe Robbie Alomar.
Oh, I think...
Carlos Baerga comes to mind.
I think Alomar may be number one.
Yeah, he probably is.
I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, Alomar was... Yeah.
Now, this clip I loved because you were very passionate about the Mets signing a free agent. There was a free agent in particular...
I can't wait to hear
...that
this.
You wanted them to go after.
I hope I'm wrong.
All right, and as always, let me leave you with, and I will always do this from now on until it happens, hopefully.
Doesn't even sound like...
Please sign Bobby Bonilla.
Oh, my God.
Good night, Howie.
All right, take care.
That's my favorite.
Oh, my. That worked out well. Bobby Bonilla. Doesn't even sound like me. Who is that guy?
Yeah, it sounds completely different.
Right? Does this sound like me?
It's very funny.
You sound very different.
Very funny.
Howie sounds the same.
Exactly the same.
You know?
Very bizarre.
So this is like, because this is before I'm on the air.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we're talking like, you know, 1993 maybe?
Well, it's earlier. Because remember,
that's right. Bonilla was 92, right?
They signed Bonilla going into 92, right. So this is late 91.
Wow.
Same thing with the managers.
Wow.
I got one more clip. It's up to you if you want to hear it.
No, we'll hear it, but hold on. I was youthful then.
we're
talking about 1991, so we are talking like 32 years ago?
32 years ago, yeah.
Wow, I was still like in my 30s then.
Young man.
I was younger than you on that.
You were younger than me now. Howie was too. Think about the way
he's like, because Howie and I are like the same age.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he might be a year older than me, or maybe exactly the same.
You
know
what? We had him on a few days ago, and he said he's about to turn 70. So
we're the same.
Same
yeah,
age.
Yeah.
But Howie sounds exactly the same.
Yeah, he does.
You,
not
I agree,
me.
Sound very different.
I don't know what happened to me.
But everybody sounds different. We played a clip a while ago of the first show Craig and I did, which is not that long ago, 2.5 years ago.
Right.
And Craig sounded completely different, right, Big Mac? He didn't even sound like
himself.
In just 2.5 years.
Two and a half years.
Wow.
So I guess it's normal. Howie's the one who's abnormal. He sounds exactly the same. The last clip is you talking about how Sid Fernandez needs to lose weight. Would you like to hear that?
Oh, is that? Did I mention that?
Sid Fernandez, you know, when is the Met management going to say, "Hey, Sid, it's time to drop the weight"? This is this man's problem. His injury problems, his stamina problems. He's 40, 50 pounds overweight.
Well, Was he 40, 50 pounds overweight?
I don't know that. But I think that's the, you know, he did have a lot of knee issues, and I think it was because of that, to be honest with you.
Nah, he was a big guy at that time.
But he was a good, look, he was a good pitcher for the Mets. He was real good.
Absolutely. Speaking of good pitchers, and I said this the other day, and I've given it more thought. So the Mets are inducting four guys into the Mets Hall of Fame this weekend. Howie Rose and Gary Cohen, who are, you know, I mean, they define a generation now.
Right, of course.
For how long they've been broadcasting. You know, Gary took over, I think, 1989 on the radio with Bob Murphy.
Right.
Howie started doing radio with Gary. Well, he started doing TV, I should say, with Fran Healy. He was doing TV in the mid-90s.
The old sports channel.
And then Gary and Howie had a couple of years where they did the radio together, and then Gary made the jump to SNY. And then Howie was the lead guy on radio. So they are two incredible voices, basically, of certainly my generation. You're 40 and under. Those are the guys you grew up with.
No doubt.
I heard a little bit about Murphy, obviously. I grew up with Murphy, too, but by 2003... he had retired, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that. I've seen it all, bro. I mean, I went all the years with Lindsey Nelson and Ralph Kiner and Murphy. I mean, that was, you know, the first, 17 years, 18 years.
So Bob Murphy, obviously from 62 until 2003. So he broadcasted for about 40 years. Gary Cohen's catching up. He's almost there.
Yeah, I know.
If he started in 89, what's 40
he's
years after 89?
Yeah, no.
Isn't that 2029?
Yeah, he's getting there.
He's basically there.
He's closing in.
But Howard Johnson is going in. Well-deserved, Hojo.
By the way, we're going to have Howard Johnson on our Saturday show tomorrow. I just got it confirmed.
Oh, tremendous.
10:20 tomorrow for Howard Johnson.
Perfect. The great Howard Johnson.
Go. Check out the Saturday show.
And Al Leiter is going into the Mets Hall of Fame.
He should. He should be in.
He absolutely deserves it. And I know your answer is going to be different. It should be. You've seen a lot more. In my lifetime, just my lifetime, which starts in 92, 93, I started understanding the Mets. What a great time to start understanding the Mets.
It was wonderful.
I think in a big game, season on the line, life on the line, I think I'm taking Al Leiter over anybody else I saw, and that includes DeGrom, as great as DeGrom
was.
He was
good. Al was good. Look, I mean, look, we all remember the game in 99, the play-in game, and whatever you want to call it, against Cincinnati, which was probably the best game he ever pitched for the Mets. And even the World Series game, but they, you know, game five, he pitched good in that game.
Oh, dude.
Al was good.
I really thought, and I can't figure out why, because this is purely emotional. This has no stats. There's no analytics. It's just emotion. When Al Leiter was on the mound in the ninth inning against the Yankees in Game 5 of the World Series, I wanted him there. I never wanted him out of the game. I never did. He got the first two outs in the ninth inning, gave up back-to-back hits, and then the Luis Soho thing, right? No regrets. I have no issues with Bobby Valentine. I wanted Al Leiter on the mound. He had John Franco warming up, right? But with Matt Harvey, 15 years later, it pissed me off to no end that Familia didn't come in to pitch the ninth. And it still bothers me. Yeah. It's been 8 years.
I was so pissed about that. I take the other tack on that.
On both?
I wanted Harvey to pitch tonight.
You did? Okay. Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I mean, it didn't end well for Matt Harvey, but I have a place in my heart for Matt Harvey now. I got to tell you.
No, I get that.
I just do. I mean, I feel bad the way it played out. You know, it was too much too soon. You know, I remember I criticized him for being, you know, he's going out with supermodels. He hasn't really earned all that yet, you know?
Right.
And that's fine. But, I mean, you haven't, as far as your baseball career, and I think it all came back to bite him, you know?
It was 2.5 years of brilliance from Matt Harvey.
That was it.
That's all it was.
And that really was it. Game 5 of the World Series was the last hurrah for Matt Harvey.
It was. And I don't know if it had anything to do with how many innings he threw coming off Tommy John. I honestly don't think so, if I had to guess. I think it's just maybe what you said, too much too soon. But those are two scenarios. That's why 2000 and 2015 still kill me. I thought the World Series were almost exactly the same.
They were.
Game one, lose game two, win game three, brutal losses in game four, Derek Jeter first pitch, Mets blow game
Bobby
four.
Bobby Jones.
And then game five, where it's just this awful loss with one of your best pitchers on the mound as you're basically blowing it.
Al Leiter also pitched the game six against the Braves, too.
All right.
We don't win.
So
didn't exactly do well in that game.
He did not record an out in that game. And for years, I've always said, boy, that's the one dud on his resume.
Right, it is.
He said this to us a year ago, and he said, well, you may not know. And it changed my view on it. We'll see if it does for you. No, he was warming up in the bullpen game five, Robin Ventura grand slam single. They had nobody left. And he was warming up ready to pitch. So he was warming up to pitch a day and a half earlier.
Wow.
And that may have kind of affected him.
Now, they should have won the game anyway, as we know how that turned out.
Yeah, it was blown by Franco and Benitez.
Yeah, yes. Everybody kills Kenny Rogers, but those are the guys that really good at games.
John Franco and Armando Benitez had leads
about it.
In game six. Yep. They were going to be the first team ever to force the seventh game after being down 3-0.
Yeah.
They were going to force. Now, I don't know if they would have won it, but they were forcing it. and they blew the lead twice. And then, yeah, we remember Kenny Rogers walking Andrew Jones.
Yep. Yep.
And Bob Costas screaming, "Bring on the Yankees!" Yuck.
Yeah.
Jeez, I got that.
Yeah, it didn't end well for the Braves either.
No. It did. The Yankees killed them. Yep. Four.
Yep.
Steven is in East Windsor. What's up, Steven?
Steven, how are you?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I want to talk about a comment that was made earlier about Giant fans being afraid of Jet fans because they're on the come up.
I didn't say that. Hold on. No. That was Rosie that said that, not me. That was Paul Rosenberg, our esteemed producer here.
Yeah, well, Paul, he's got his facts right because I'm a Giant fan and I'm not worried about the Jets. I think the Jets, like Big Mac, are going to be good this year with Aaron Rodgers. And if everybody stays healthy, like Hall and the offensive line for the Jets, they'll have a good team to make the playoffs. But as a Giant fan, my worry is not the Jets. I'm more worried about actually getting over the hump and being the Cowboys.
Right. And the Eagles.
And being the Eagles.
Right. Of course.
Like, that's, of course. That's my goal. So,
but
like,
we didn't mention. I just want to say, Steven, we did not bring this up. It wasn't me that said that. You know?
And you know what's great? When the next time Rosie does an overnight, you can do 4 hours of screaming at him because it's an asinine comment. I totally agree with our last caller. I don't think most Giant fans. Now, things can change if the Jets are successful. But as of right now, I don't think they care about the Jets.
No, they don't.
The only time I think the Giant fan really started to care about the Jets was during the Rex era because Rex talked a lot of trash and then he covered up the trophies and the pictures and all that stuff.
That came back to bite us.
Yeah. And by the way, that pissed a lot of people off.
Yeah, well, including the Giants.
Yes.
Let's be honest about it.
They certainly used it as motivation.
Yeah, right. Well, it worked.
Paul's in Trenton, New Jersey. What's going on, Paul?
Paul, what's up?
Hi, guys. You know, you just were talking about why Judge teams don't pitch to him, don't walk him as much. They don't what? He bats second. So then after him, you got the third and the fourth batter. So then you're walking a guy. Supposedly, the other guys are better, or they should be hitting better.
Wait, but doesn't that prove?
But they're not.
One more thing with Bonds, who did he have batting after him?
Jeff Kent, who won an MVP.
Rizzo and Stanton.
Jeff Kent did win an MVP.
Jeff Kent should be in the Hall of Fame, by the way.
No, but it's actually a fair point. A lot of it is protection, and there were years at the end where Kent wasn't there, so I acknowledge that. I just wanted to bring that up that Kent did hit behind him for a while, but then there was, you know, JT Snow and Bill Miller for a while. Doesn't that prove, though, what he said, why you hit your best hitter second? If that's really the case, if teams are not walking Judge because, well, the 3, 4, 5 hitters are coming up, doesn't that prove
it does make sense.
That the new age manager's right to put their best hitter too?
Yeah. No, it does.
I don't know if that's necessarily the reason. I think a lot of it is math. And I think that you play the game of math. What has a better chance of happening? A guy hitting a home run or walking a guy and then him coming around and scoring? And based on the situation, based on how many outs there are, based on if there's already a guy on base, the math changes. Like, I brought this up to Craig, and this is not analytics. This is simple. Why did they walk him the other night? Aaron Judge right now hits home runs 9% of the time. That's how often he hits home runs, 9% of the time. When you put a guy on base with two outs, the chances of him scoring are 6%. So do the math. What are you better off doing? Walking him. It's a lot of this is just it's just math. It's what are you better off doing? Obviously, if you're leading off an inning and you walk a guy, the odds of him scoring are high.
Well, it's like 75%. It's mind-boggling.
No, you're right. I know
it is.
Are you going to walk him to lead off an inning? No.
No.
I don't think you are.
No. Two out, nobody on, that's a different story.
Different story. Different situation.
Yep.
But it is a different world. It feels like the intentional walk is treated very differently. You know, I think years ago we saw more of it than maybe we see it today. And, you know, maybe that's part of the reason. That's part of the reason why that happens. Let's go to Lou in Astoria. Lou.
Hi, Lou.
Hey, how you guys doing? Long time.
Lou.
You're looking great, man. That's a great shirt you got on. I like it.
You like that? I told you. I try to be style. You know, I gotta try to uphold some kind of style.
And you got the Met hat going on.
I got my Met hat.
I know. I know the Met hat. I was you, I take the Met hat today.
So I figured I'd make them happy at SNY. I got my Met hat.
If I was you, I'd take the hat off right now because you got a nice on thing. Okay.
I have a tremendous.
But anyway,
I do.
I gotta ask.
And by the way, I don't go into a tanning bed to get it. Let me tell you.
Exactly. You just. Original, right?
Right, that's
well,
right.
You play a lot of golf. I can understand.
A lot of golf, right.
But anyway, listen. The other day, you was on the, I don't know if it was with Evans, and you said that Judge is the greatest player in the world right now. Now, yes. Here's my question to you.
Yeah, I think he is.
And I want you to
definitely. No. He's the best offensive weapon in the game.
I wouldn't ask this question. Okay, but let me finish.
All right.
I wouldn't ask this question to my son because he's that's his guy. And C-Mac, I want him to answer this question too. If you got a choice right now, okay, to get Shohei Ohtani or Judge, who would you have? Be honest.
Well, I'll say this. I'll say one thing here. Now, you're talking from the Met perspective.
I'm talking about as a player.
Yeah, but I think it depends. You need help with your rotation, okay, then I think you got to look at Ohtani because he's such a good pitcher.
No. Here's the answer. It's very simple. If you're a Yankee fan, the answer is Aaron Judge. He's your guy.
Right.
And I'm not going to sit here arguing with a guy that you developed, the guy who you saw at 63 home runs.
But you don't understand what I mean.
He's your guy. If you're any other team, the answer is Ohtani.
Okay.
Period. Stop.
All right.
That's the answer. Like, if I need offense, Ohtani gives me that too. Right, if I need pitching, who doesn't need pitching?
I understand.
The answer is Ohtani for every fan base and every team except the Yankees, because I like you respect that with guys that are homegrown and
we're not getting
rid of them.
There's no doubt about it. That's why they got to get Pete signed before free agency.
Right. So, am I right about that, Big Mac? You're taking Judge.
100%.
Okay.
And I agree with you. If you're any other team, it's Ohtani.
No, and it's not even close.
Okay. It's really not.
And it's not a knock on Judge. Judge is the best position player in baseball.
No doubt.
If I have
the number one offensive weapon in the game.
Yes. Done. It's easy. Right. All said and done. Now you've got a guy, and this has really pissed me off. You haven't said this. I'm not mad at you. But I heard four different people in the course of a week and a half repeat the same thing about Ohtani and drove me nuts. I heard Jeff Nelson say it on the Yankee broadcast. I heard a caller say it on this radio station. I heard a talk show host say it. I'm not going to name their names while I pick on them. That Ohtani's not having a great year pitching. I heard that. I was like, Ohtani's not having a great year pitching? He's got like a 3 ERA. He leads the league in strikeouts. He's not having a great year pitching. He's not McClanahan. He may not be the favorite to win the Cy Young right now, but he is having a really good year pitching. And he's having a really good year offensively. He's not the best pitcher in baseball. He is not the best hitter in baseball.
That's right.
But he does both.
Yeah, no, he does both.
That's the answer.
He's going to hit 40 bombs and get Cy Young votes. I don't know.
Yeah.
I
mean,
how many other people are doing that. Get better than that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
More impactful.
Oh, it's not even a question. And the Angels stink. It's not because of him. Baseball's not a one-man sport. It's not a two-man sport.
No.
Mike Trout's good, too.
Right.
Doesn't mean
if they're playing
win.
Basketball, they probably win a lot of championships.
Pretty
good 1-2 punch.
Unless they play in Brooklyn.
Wow.
And there's, vaccine mandates.
We won't get into all that.
That'll change
how
everything.
Sean Marks is still there, I have no idea.
Well, once Bob Myers takes over, he won't be. Dennis and Yonkers. What's up, Dennis?
Dennis.
Evan, Joe, how are you?
What's up, Dennis?
Evan, I appreciate you punching me through. You hung me out to dry when Joe was on last time.
I don't remember that. That is not true.
Yeah, yes, you do.
You're one of my
favorites.
Dennis
is on every Saturday, which we really appreciate.
Of course, appreciate. He's great. He's a staple, man.
Yeah. One of the greats.
Well, I won't be next tomorrow, Joe, so I'll get all my stuff in today.
Okay.
First of all, let me start here. At the Memorial Day marker just passed it, I go on the premise that I hate all of the new rules, and then I see if I like any. And I like the 3-batter minimum. I'm astounded at the shot clock, how good it is. Other than that, I can do without everything. The new schedule, if it didn't diminish divisions, and you guys are kind of with me on that, I would be all for it. Because tonight, like, you've got Yankees at Dodgers, Orioles are coming to our place in San Francisco, Braves are in Arizona. For me, that Brave game is important for you. I mean, it's kind of interesting, but it mitigates the division. So let me hear what you have to say about that first and the new rules.
Yes. I said this earlier in the show that I would rather the Mets be playing the Marlins this weekend than the Blue Jays. Because that game matters more. They're battling for it in the standings.
I'd rather play more of the Cubs and the Cardinals. You know what I mean? Like those kind of teams that I used to be a big rival against, you know?
Right. Okay. There was a time a couple of weeks ago, Evan, when your current partner, and Joe and I have a simpatico, we're actually going to go to a Giant Met game, I think.
Right. We can't do the Jets-Giants, though. We can't. We decided we can't do that.
No,
the baseball we can do.
Yeah,
that's doable.
That's easy.
We were going to do Giants-Jets, and then we got sober and said, no.
Right, right. Exactly. That's not good.
And Evan, Joe, if you can grab, I know where Evan's seats are because I came by those seats once.
Right. No, he's got great seats. He's right below the booth there, right below your radio.
I'll be there tonight, baby. Fireworks night. Let's go.
If if you want to squeeze those, two for one of those games out of him, go ahead. Otherwise,
oh, I'll take care of you. Mets, Giants, you guys won.
We're in.
Let me look at the schedule. When do they? When is that?
You said the end of June, right, Dennis?
I think June 30th it starts.
Okay.
It starts the.
I'll make it work.
Whatever. Anyway, so you, your current partner, one day you guys went off the rails. He said Aaron Boone's the best manager in baseball. Typical Craig. And I like Craig. I don't call Craig though, Joe, because I don't think he likes me. But
okay.
I like Craig a lot. And
he doesn't dislike you.
Said, well, I know that. Aaron Boone's the best manager in baseball.
Right.
And of course we know who is the best manager in baseball, and it bothers me every day because I didn't think he was coming back, and now
Bruce
he is.
Bochy.
And Bruce, yeah, without question.
If we're looking at resumes and what's been accomplished, and I think that's a fair way to look at people. And by the way, how are they doing?
Yeah.
They're in first place.
All right. He's only won 3.
And 20, and it's not because of Jacob DeGrom.
No, it's not.
Definitely not.
I have to move over to you, Evan. I am so disappointed in the way you were irresponsible in ripping the Rays. Now, was that tongue-in-cheek, or were you serious? Because you couldn't.
You ripping the Rays? Was so, this when the Mets when the Mets were playing them?
Ripping the Rays, they created a T-shirt mad at me. They got a rally T-shirt based on the things I said, so obviously
the Rays
them.
Have a rally T-shirt based on what you said?
With my quotes from what I said. And I'll say
you
it again, Dennis. I'll say it again to everybody listening.
Yeah, go ahead.
It was very and is very peculiar when you have guys who are journeymen who all of a sudden are having these remarkable seasons. And that was my point then, and that is my point now. Now, it was construed by some that I was calling them a bunch of cheaters.
Mm-hmm.
I was just raising questions. Hey, this is odd. And I was naming names.
Yeah, you were impugning an entire
I was bringing up a franchise that had seven guys who are having monster seasons. What I respect about the Rays is that what they took from my little rant is that I said they were a bunch of journeymen, and they're rallying around all
So what's this T-shirt they got now?
Journeyman, and then it's like,
and this came from you?
Yeah, they, I guess it went viral or whatever. I was just giving an opinion about the Rays.
You should get a piece of the action.
And by the way, Dennis, you know what their record is since I had my little tirade? They're 12-11.
Like around 500.
Just a 500 team.
Yeah. Okay, Evan. Here's the point.
So what's your point?
I did this with. I said this to Joe. If you do an evaluation, I do it by evaluation. You know, I do analytics and metrics, but that's not the point. If you would do an evaluation of their team and you did a redraft, just say this year,
yeah,
they would have 3 first round picks in a Rosarena, Franco, and McClanahan. How about that? And there's only 30 teams in baseball, so.
Well,
first of all, I never
went after Shane McClanahan or Wander Franco because they're really good. I know they're really good. I went after the guys who, for the most part, 90% of baseball fans had never heard of. And all of a sudden, we're having monster seasons. That's it. And I asked questions about it. That's all. And since then, they're a 500 team, and the Yankees are 6 games back. So I don't know what happened. I ask questions.
I'm fascinated that they actually now have a T-shirt of something you said.
Yes, and then you know how I responded? I made a T-shirt of them wearing the T-shirt on a T-shirt. How about that? Yeah.
So what, have you got a picture like of, you know,
a
Rosarena wearing a T-shirt?
I have a picture of Luke Raley. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
Exactly.
I do, actually. Isn't he only because they played the Mets recently.
Right.
So I do know.
So you remember that.
Big power hit, first base.
Get you all over it, man.
There you go.
I have a picture of Luke Raley
wearing
the T-shirt they created with my quote on a T-shirt.
Right.
So that's my T-shirt. But they took what I said and made it a T-shirt.
Right, okay.
And I forget what I... What did I say again?
Journeyman. Tampa's playing stupid ball right
now. And there's something suspicious about that, by the way.
Oh, this is what I'm
very suspicious. I didn't say it, but all I know is I'm a baseball fan. I know baseball. I like baseball. I was very skeptical with what I saw this weekend.
Yes, me too.
I have no evidence other than
journeyman outperforming a baseball card.
All of them. Christian Bethencourt? Hello? Taylor Walls?
Yeah.
What? Because you know what we do, most of us do? We don't know who they are, so we say, oh, the Rays are brilliant. Here's the problem. I know who they are. They're not good. What have I said that was wrong in that?
So
what I said
you didn't
wrong.
Say a lot that was wrong there.
Thank you.
And that went viral and went, and before you know it, it's journeyman t-shirt.
Yeah, so the journey, so they took my what, which is, by the way,
have you got one of these t-shirts, by the way?
No, I just
should have sent you one.
Of course they should. You should get a piece of the action.
And by the way, that that what I did was in honor of you, because you do that what sometimes when you're very upset. What? Like, I did that for you.
Was it? Okay.
So that's a beningo what. It. And then what was the other phrase?
It was Christian Bethencourt. Who?
Yeah, that was it. So they put it on the t-shirt. What and who?
So that's when they have a shirt that says journeyman, like, who, what.
Yeah. And look, let it be their rallying cry. We all know the truth. They ain't winning the division.
I'm just telling you right now, Ev. Just telling you.
Who's winning the division? Yankees?
The Orioles.
Yes, Baltimore?
No, the Yankees are winning the division. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
No, I'm just telling you right
now. I'm not really concerned.
I know. I'm just saying, I'm telling you right now, me and you are going to have problems.
What?
If they win a playoff series at Yankee Stadium and they're all doing who's and what's, we're going to have a major problem.
So you're blaming. So now.
I'm just saying. So now, if the Rays win a series against the Yankees. I'm not going to blame them.
No, but
I'm going to be
like
unhappy with them if they're celebrating doing who's and what's, celebrating my guy, Evan, as they beat the Yankees. We're going to have a problem.
You know what I did for you? I got you back in the race. They're 12-11 in their last 23 games. The Yankees are getting healthy. Yeah. How about you go finish the job?
I agree.
They are no longer playing out of their minds. It's no longer overly peculiar. They're back to being normal.
So much for the 84 Tigers now.
Yeah,
right?
That went out the window.
Right.
So now go take advantage of it.
No 35-5 start.
Every time a team gets off to a great start, I think about the 35-5 and say, how is that possible?
Yeah.
Like, how the hell?
They only won 104 games that year.
Yeah, because after
that. They did win the World Series.
After that, they played 500 ball.
Right. They did win the World Series.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah, ultimately, that's what makes it so legendary.
Right.
That they went on and actually won the whole damn thing.
Of course.
But don't blame me. Now it's your job.
Not blaming you, but I'm just telling you, I'm not going to like it.
Listen, no excuses for the Yankees now. You got your lineup back. You got Josh Donaldson back. You got Giancarlo back.
Are they playing tonight?
Tommy Kaneley.
Tommy Kaneley's back.
Are they playing tonight? Giancarlo?
I assume so.
I would assume so. They put them on the roster. I'm assuming they're going to play them.
The Donaldson thing's going to be fascinating because how often does he play? DJ LeMahieu has not had a great season.
Not at all.
Glaber's had a good season, I would say. Yeah, he has his little mental breakdowns once in a while, but he's had a good season. I don't think they're going to play a lot of Stanton in the outfield right away. I just don't.
They're not going to. They've announced he's a DH for a while.
So Donaldson is going to take at-bats away from whom? The answer is DJ LeMahieu, because it ain't going to be Glaber. Now, you're not going to play Stanton every single day. You'll sit him once in a while. And who knows, maybe with Rizzo, you sit him once in a while with the next stuff, and DJ plays first. And if Donaldson doesn't hit, because he didn't have a great year last year, as good as his glove was, how long do you stick with it? Because the Yankees are dealing with something very interesting that's slowly starting to become a story. Slowly becoming a story. Remember how the Mets had these veterans who did nothing, and we would all look at what was going on in AAA, and we would see Mauricio and Vientos and Beatty. And then eventually, Beatty took the job at third base.
Right.
And Vientos got the call. Well, you better not look now, because Oswald Peraza at AAA, 350, 10 home runs in 100 at-bats.
Wow.
10 home runs in 100 at-bats.
Yeah, it's like 8 home runs in his last 11 games.
Like, he is on fire. And so what that leads to is he's a prospect. It's not some journeyman doing it. Journeyman. It leads to, when do you call this kid up?
Well, the Yankees are always kind of, you know, they're not in a hurry to bring up these young guys, generally.
Yeah. Look, you know? I mean,
that has not been their M.O. over the years.
Well, and I think the other question with him is, if you bring him up, it's for whom? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I do not like the idea of sending Anthony Volpe down. I'm not a fan of that. Like, he hasn't been great. He needs to be better. I don't think he's been bad enough where he looks overmatched, where I would send him down to AAA. I just would. That right off the top, I wouldn't do that. So it comes down to, can Peraza come up? You're probably not going to shift Volpe. I wouldn't do that, even though I don't think he's great defensively. Maybe long-term you do, but short-term I wouldn't. So if Peraza comes up, are you going to bench Josh Donaldson and DJ LeMahieu? Eventually you may have to, because if they don't hit and you got a top prospect tearing it up, at what point do you say, I want the kid to play? Just like the Mets eventually said, let's let the kid play. It's a very interesting dilemma because you've got two veterans standing in his way and then a young player that you don't want to send down. Other than that, or an injury, how's he playing? There's no answer to that.
Yeah, right.
So those are the options.
Right.
So keep an eye on it, because here's the other thing about Peraza. He was up here last year and played reasonably well in a short period of time. He was up here very briefly this year. He's been in the majors before. He's a top prospect. Eventually, you're going to want to see what the guy is. So, I don't know.
Maybe wait to the next Giancarlo injury, which probably won't be for too long.
Well, you may be right.
Be too long before that happens.
I hate to say that. Unfortunately, with some guys, especially Stanton, that may be the way he gets an opportunity.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.